Well, these are certainly crazy and sobering times as we navigate through this COVID-19 pandemic. And there's so much, I think, that it's changed in our world as we adjust. And so many things, I think, that are stressors for us. And the fact that there's job layoffs, there's furloughs, there's jobs, there's businesses that are downsizing, there's businesses that are going out of business, there's the economic uncertainty. And I think in all of this, it kind of puts an edge to things. And then the fact when you throw in racial tensions on that as well, and political divisiveness like I've never seen before in my time, it's just amazing how all these things are just kind of like a perfect time for these tensions, this perfect storm, if you will. And just this week, as I was watching the news before I came to work on national news, it was just amazing to me how just wrong has become right, and right has become wrong. And I was looking at it going, man, sin is just being celebrated and encouraged. And I just was like, man, this is just crazy. And as I was thinking about it, I was just like thinking of a word maybe that would describe what I was sensing inside. And there was this sense of uncertainty. A sense of uncertainty, like, well, what's going on? And I, you know, when the economy, we don't know how the economy is going to end up. What about the elections coming up this November? That's going to be a big thing on where it takes us from there. And that's going to be a big change. And college is in, and how long is that going to last? And school's starting up, and how long is that going to happen? And what's this going to look like? And we got some teachers that are picketing and some going, and there's all over the place, and on a much, you know, whole seasons are being canceled, and on a much lesser note, but important note, what's gonna happen to college game day, you know, in the fall, and that's not gonna be the same, and all these things coming on. And for a culture that prides itself on control and predictability, uncertainty can become unnerving. It can really become unnerving, which results in frustrations and anger and fear. But thankfully, because of the gospel, we can be certain even in uncertain times. That's what the gospel promises us. And so this morning, as we do this one-off sermon, I just wanted to talk a little bit about being certain in uncertainty and what exactly that looks like. And last week, we talked about following after God and how it's going to require of us that we say no to self and yes to Jesus on a daily basis. And that was following 1.0. Well, 2.0 is going to be what we can expect and what's going to happen in the result of what we do that. And to follow Jesus really is to step into uncertainty. That's part of following him, is that we can step into uncertainty and even be certain in the uncertainty. In fact, when you look at it, from the Old Testament through the New Testament, all the way through, those who followed after God and did what he asked were stepping into uncertainty. I mean, think about Noah. I want you to build something that you've never seen that will help you in something that you've never experienced. That's stepping into uncertainty. You talk about Abraham. You know, I want you to leave a certain life to go to a place that you don't know, and build a family there in generations. And so that's uncertainty. And when people would follow Jesus, when Jesus would come to them and go, I want you to follow me, he didn't lay it all out and go, okay, here's what it's going to look like, and this is what it require. He would just say, I want you to lay down your nets and follow me. That was stepping into uncertainty. And so this morning, what I'd like to do is I want to look at three different people that say they want to follow Jesus and look at the uncertainty that was there and the things I think that will help us even as we live in these uncertain times. And you're going to find it in Luke chapter 9, 57 through 62, a shorter passage that I think speaks a lot to this. And I think we'll have it on the screen as well. Here it is, Luke 9, 57. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Kind of a bold statement. And Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go proclaim the kingdom of God. And still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. I think in all of these, we find that to follow Jesus really was and is stepping in to uncertainty. There's a certain sense in which we can't have it all calculated. We don't know how it's all going to end up. And I came across a quote this week from John Bloom that just spoke to me greatly, and it says this: uncertainty is only apparent uncertainty. Our future and our provision and our ultimate triumph are certain to God. In other words, when you live in uncertainty, you can be certain because of what Christ has accomplished for us. And that is the whole purpose of this. And so as we live in these uncertain times, let's take a look at some things that hopefully can help us and that we can truly trust God in these times. And the first one is this, with the first man. And here's the statement I want to make on this one. Can we trust God in the uncertainty of not knowing how he will provide? Notice I didn't say if he will provide, but the uncertainty of how he will provide. The man said to Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go. And some would say, well, gosh, that was a really bold statement. And I think it was sincere. You know, he was following Jesus. He said, I want to do what you do. I want to go with you. He didn't have the full understanding of this. And Jesus' response to him, I think, tells us that he didn't know the gravity of it. When Jesus says foxes have holes and that they can live in, birds have nests to lay down, but I have nowhere. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So what's he saying here? You know, basically, Jesus is saying, I'm homeless. And if you want to follow me, it is following me through. You don't know necessarily what's going to happen the next day. You don't know necessarily where you're going to eat the next day. Is this saying to us that if you follow me, you're not going to have a house? Obviously not. But he's saying, if you're going to follow me, you're going to follow me into the uncertainty of whatever comes your way. Follow me through it. And even when we have this time that we are in as a culture, maybe the uncertainty of the moment, of what's happened with COVID, and I don't know what it is for you, and maybe how it's affected you, and maybe even employment-wise, or maybe you've been laid off, or maybe you're wondering what's going to happen next, if this continues on, or maybe your once robust financial portfolio is now rather anemic, you know, because of the ups and downs of the market. And when this uncertainty can spread, certainly lies of the enemy can spread with it and fear can come up. But we can trust God. We can live in certainty even when we're in the midst of uncertainty. I mean, corporately, this has happened for us even as we moved into our as we go to our new facility, and for college students, hopefully you've seen that across from the softball field, that it is being built, and we'll be there before long, hopefully by the end of the year. But stepping into that was definitely stepping into uncertainty. It wasn't like it was all laid out and going, here's how it's going to go exactly, and here's how you're going to do it. All we just knew, God's asking us to do this, let's be obedient, and let's step out for something that, you know, and the thing that kept going to me is, Doug, will you trust me for something that if it falls flat on your face, you will fail? Are you willing to trust me with that? And so we step forward and we do it. And then when COVID hit, it was like, oh gosh, here we go. You know, right when we get this thing going, now everything's shutting down. It didn't miss a beat. We just kept spending our cash and people kept working and it didn't miss a beat. And then when we look at the fact that we're going, well, now what about the other side, the other part of our building, and what are we going to do with that? And certainly in COVID times, it's like, who's going to buy something like that for the price that it's going to be for that? I mean, that's not going to happen. And bam, just at the right time, God provides a great buyer, which we're in the middle of that contract and everything looks like it's going well. So it's just like every time in the midst of uncertainty, God has just said, boom, here you go. Here you go. You can't lay it out. You're not going to figure it all out. But will you trust me even in the certainty of who you know I am, even in the midst of uncertainty? He wants us to be able to trust him with that. And the question I think for us is, will you trust him in the uncertainty of not knowing how he will provide? That's part of what he wants to teach us in this. And then the second guy, I think, when he comes and he says, well, Jesus asked him if he'll follow. I think we're here, we ask the question, can you trust God in the uncertainty of your plans falling through? How about when your plans follow through? I mean, this man responds to Jesus, let me go bury my father. And Jesus responds, let the dead bury the dead. He's not anti-family here. He's not saying that's a bad idea to go do that, but he's basically prioritizing the kingdom. And I want you to preach the kingdom. And the idea here is that this man had a plan. I will follow you, God, but here's how I want it to work. I want to first do this, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this. And here's my plan. But what about when our plans don't go the way that we thought they should? And when our plans get interrupted, frustration and anger can occur. You know, interestingly enough, the passage right before this one, Jesus sends his disciples ahead into a Samaritan village to get a place for them to spend the night. And now if there's anybody that was sympathetic to the Samaritans, it was Jesus. The Samaritans who were half-breeds, half-Jew, half-Gentile, there was a great hostility in between the two. I don't know how you could, today, that kind of hostility would probably put in a Republican and a Democrat. You know, and the hostility that there is between the aisle, you know, and what was going on. They just couldn't stand each other. They were polar opposite on anything that they were standing for. And so there was this great sense of hostility. So Jesus sends them ahead and goes, hey, prepare us, get us something to stay the night. Well, the Samaritans said no. You're not staying here. And in the midst of them not staying there, then the disciples come along, they get ticked. James and John particularly get ticked. And they say to Jesus, hey, Jesus, would you like us to rain down fire from heaven right now? Where does that come from? Hey, Jesus, would you just like us to just toast this whole village? And they didn't seem to have a problem with it. That's why they were called sons of thunder. Just lay out the whole village. Jesus rebukes them. And so even in our, and when things aren't going the way that we want, the way that we planned, we can do the same thing. And we can just say, hey, what do you want to do here? And a classic example of this is just stepping into uncertainty when plans follow through, don't follow the way we want them to. Is just this week, we were meeting with Ann Robertson, and Ann and her husband, Bill, retired and wanted to go to do something with their lives in this last season of their lives. So they sold everything and went to Portugal and were working hard for the Lord and doing everything. And Bill falls off of a ladder and, you know, has a spinal cord injury, which leaves him so he can't feel from the waist down. And, you know, through a long story, he's with all the COVID restrictions and everything, he's you know, medic flighted over to a place in Chicago to a spinal cord rehab place, and Ann got her way back, and now she just came through surgery this week and was talking to us about what's going on, and she's going to go to Chicago, and she's got a place across the street from Bill that she can communicate with him, but she has to go through the, you know, 14-day quarantine kind of a thing. And it's just, talk about stepping into uncertainty. Here they were, doing what the Lord wanted to do in Portugal, and now they find themselves in Chicago, not knowing what the next day is going to bring. And what was amazing to me is as Anne was speaking to us, she just spoke, you could just sense it in her voice, the certainty of who she knew she was following, even in the midst of the uncertainty of all that was coming their way. There was just this sense of we don't know what is coming, but we are certain in whom we are following. And they're doing the very thing the Lord wanted them to do. And I think that which brings us to this question, can you trust God in the uncertainty of your plans falling through? When it's not going the way that you thought it would, when the way that you imagined it. And maybe that's with your family, with your kids, with your job, with whatever, and there's a sense of uncertainty. And that uncertainty can just begin to boil up, and it can begin to lead to all kinds of anger and frustration. Well, with the last guy, when he comes to Jesus, and it's interesting what I think what God says in this last one is, can you trust God in the uncertainty that comes when his command contradicts the opinion of others? So here's this guy, and he says, first, I want to go say goodbye to my family. Now you can just imagine if you put this scenario out there, and here's this guy that wants to go and he wants to visit his family, and it's not that Jesus was like, no, you shouldn't do that, but you can just imagine when he goes there that they're going to go, you want to follow who? And you're going to go where? And how are you going to provide for yourself? Where are you going to live? You know, there's a growing animosity towards Jesus, and how's that going to look on you? Are you sure about this? Are you going to be safe? All these things. And you know, in each of these cases, we don't get the person's response. The scriptures don't give us that. It only gives us Jesus' response. And then Jesus, in this case, says, look, anybody who starts to plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, this isn't about divided allegiance. You need to figure out if you want to follow me, even into uncertainty. And anybody who's going to plow a straight row, they don't do it backwards. Looking back, but moving forward. No, he says, you got to be resolute. And if you want to follow me, you need to follow me even into the uncertainty. Knowing that I will be there, that I will provide for you. And I can remember vividly when I got called into ministry in college, it was probably the last thing that I thought that I would do, but it was very obvious that this is what God wanted me to do. And when I went to tell my dad what I was doing, I can't mention the words that he said to me. But he threw basically every name in the book at me and basically said, you are wasting your life. You're wasting your college education. How are you going to have a future? What are you going to do financially? How is this going to work? And it created some uncertainty. I was like, wow, okay, getting it right away. Following Jesus is some uncertainty. But here's the interesting thing. 10 years later, he comes to me and he says, who is this that you are following? Because I see how he's changed your life and I want him in mine. Even in the uncertainty, God can bring certainty. And I don't think Jesus wants us to be overcome with fear and anxiety in our apparent uncertainty, but he wants us to know his provision is sure and security can be found in him, which brings us to the question, well then why does God allow these uncertain times? And I think it's because it's in the uncertain times that his glory is shown brightest. It is in those uncertain times when those moments are powerful moments in which God's glory is on display. And he will show himself in new ways. I mean, think about it. Isn't that what faith is? Faith is having certainty even in the midst of uncertainty. It is saying, God, it is crazy right now. There are so many things out there, but I'm going to trust you even in the midst of it. Because with you and what you've done on the cross for us shows me that there is certainty even in the midst of uncertainty. Let's take it home. Worship team, you can come on up. Here's my question for you this morning, and that is this. How is uncertainty playing out in your life right now? I know there's the general way in which it is for all of us in these times, but specifically for you, If you had to just ask, say, what is uncertain in your life? What is it for you? What are the specific ways? You know, and in each case, what Jesus wants to say to us is, look, you can be certain even in that uncertainty. He will bring it to us. In the middle of Romans 8, it has that beautiful passage where Paul is just waxing eloquent about all that God has done for us. And he says basically in the middle in verse 32, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who didn't spare his own son, but freely gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him freely give us all things? Paul is equating what Jesus has done for us in the gospel and saying that applies to your and my daily life and how we can live with him even in the midst of uncertainty. And that's a game changer. It's a game changer. And in a culture that is uncertain, we can certainly bring the hope of certainty to them. Let's stand and worship and sing our last song together.